This morning's scripture is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 66, verses 10 through 13. Rejoice with Jerusalem and be glad for her, all you who love her. Rejoice with her in joy, all you who mourn over her, that you may nurse and be satisfied from her consoling breast, that you may drink deeply with delight from her glorious bosom. For thus says the Lord, I will extend prosperity to her like a river, and the wealth of the nations like an overflowing stream. And you shall nurse and be carried on her arm and dandled on her knees. As a mother comforts her child, so I will comfort you. You shall be comforted in Jerusalem.
A year ago today, you are listening to my message via video. We had just left for Prague for the second time to try to expand our family in hopes of getting pregnant via IVF treatment from a clinic there. After extensive research, I learned that we could save thousands of dollars by leaving the United States for treatment. And in that end, it was true. We would have spent $85,000, maybe even more like $125,000 here in the U.S. for all the procedures we had done. And in the end, we spent a fraction of that. As you know, our efforts were fruitful. It wasn't easy or painless, but all of that disappears when I hold our baby over there, Micah Marquise Halverson-Cano, in my arms. And his eyes lock in on mine, and I know that deep, deep love that is so unique to mother and child. When I recorded that video last year, I didn't have a clue about what our family would face in the coming weeks as we pursued pregnancy. We'd already had a failed attempt in February of that year, but we went into this second trip with high hopes that the second time around would work. Only to face one setback after another, not just testing our patience, but our faith in the process. There were times I was so gutted that all I wanted to do was go home. It was hardly a consolation prize to be in a beautiful place because I couldn't control what was happening. It was killing me. There were times that all I wanted was my own mama to cry in her arms. But she was thousands of miles and multiple time zones away. Now, from this side of it, I know it was all worth it. But while we were in the middle of it, I was filled with doubt. It felt like I was bleeding money, sometimes literally, as we went from plan A to plan B to plan C to plan D. I think it was eventually plan E that worked. And I was so grateful that we had a clinic that always had another plan in place. And I was so grateful to all of you for the patience that you showed our family as we waited for plan B and C and D and E to pan out. Of course, you know this required us changing our plans multiple times to the tune of dollar sign after dollar sign. I was not completely comfortable with the gamble of fertility in the first place. And so every time something went wrong, I could hear the little cha-ching, cha-ching, as my anxiety climbed sky high. In that pre-recorded message last year, I talked about how my own journey with infertility had given me insight into the pain and heartache that so many women and couples feel as they struggle to create a family. I shared then, as I do today, to express my solidarity, hoping that in naming our journey, we might stand with those who have had similar struggles, and they'll know they aren't alone. It was fortunate for us that despite all of the heartache, the physical challenges, the extended time, the cost, the emotional turmoil, that we were able to get pregnant. And so now I celebrate Mother's Day with a daughter and a son, ever so grateful for everything that transpired this past year. While it took faith to survive the ride, I don't think it was faith that got us our desired outcome. I give the credit to science, to the incredible embryologists in Prague and the doctors at our clinic. It'd be easy for me to stand on this side of my pregnancy and tell you that all it took was a little faith and the willingness to walk through the fire to get the family that we dreamed about. And maybe that would give some people some hope. But I don't actually think it was my faith that gave us the results we dreamed of. My husband might. But I don't think it was faith that got us pregnant. That said, I could never have survived that journey without my faith. There might be some people who are looking for a Mother's Day sermon from this new mom to focus on the miracle that is my son. And for you, let me affirm that I believe my baby boy is nothing less than a miracle. I do not think I could have gotten where I am today had God not been present with me. I honestly believe that both Molly and Micah's conceptions and births were miraculous. Maybe not in the Mary kind of way, but in a way that still confounds me and mystifies me to this day. I am in awe of my children. I look at them while they sleep, and somehow I know I am looking at the face of God. Sometimes I just smell Micah and confirm that, yes, this is what heaven smells like. I mentioned this in the Innovator this month. It's like that song that Roxy sings on Christmas Eve, "A Breath of Heaven." And me, this average, run-of-the-mill woman from Costa Mesa who started her family just a little too late, me, I get to receive this miracle, this blessing to breathe in heaven and feel the presence of the divine. Sometimes it brings me to tears. Who am I to receive this gift? I feel like Mary as she sings her song of praise, the Magnificat. My soul magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior, for God has looked on the humble state of this servant. And now generations will call me blessed. For the one who is mighty has done great things for me, and holy is God's name. Yes, I am in awe. I am humbled at these miracles before me. But despite this, or in addition to this, I'm not here to focus on my sweet miracles this morning. I am so grateful for them. But those of you who have been listening to me for 12 years know that I have a hard time saying the words blessed, that I'm blessed, because I theologically struggle. I don't think that God bestows blessings to some and not to others. And yet I also know that counting our blessings makes us happier people. Being grateful not only gives us humility, but also allows us the opportunity to be more thankful for the life that we have. But the reason I struggle is because I don't think that God blessed me by rewarding me with these children. And I don't think that God cursed me with the infertility to begin with. I don't think I needed to learn some sort of a lesson so that I was destined to journey this and, you know, pay a third of my annual income, dig deep into my savings, take out loans, ask you all if I can stay a little longer, get help from my mom. It wasn't a lesson I needed to learn, big questions I needed to ask. And yet all of that was incredibly generous, and I'm thankful for it. I was so lucky. I was so lucky to be able to do everything that we did. And I give you so much credit for the family I have today. And your generosity and understanding and probably wondering week to week, is Pastor Sarah ever coming home? I was so fortunate. We are. But did God ensure I got this opportunity? I don't think so. I say this because I know that there are others who hurt just as much or more than I did. Others who are not fortunate enough to have a daughter, who only pray for a chance at having a baby. They might wonder, why? Why God? Why have you cursed me? Why did this happen to me? What did I do? It's amplified because we turn to scripture, and every time we read about a woman who's barren, God transforms the situation, and lo and behold, there's a miraculous birth. Now, from a literature standpoint, I get it. In fact, I even like it, because there's a woman who gets to be the hero. When you're telling the story of a people whose existence depends on passing a lineage from generation to generation, the crisis in the barren woman is real. And the miracle, of course, is the child that gets to continue the Israelite legacy. So I like this plot line. When you give a woman a powerful position, I love it. But this journey from barren to birth, which saves generation after generation so that the Israelites might persevere, puts up a bit of a dangerous plot for us today. Because now, we, barren women, read those stories and wonder why. Why am I not like Sarah or Rebecca or Manoah's wife or Elizabeth? We might think that we have been cursed. After all, Psalm 113 says, God makes the barren woman abide in the house as a joyful mother of children. Praise God. Or the verse that immediately precedes the passage we read only moments ago. Shall I open the womb and not deliver, says the Lord? Shall I, the one who delivers, shut the womb, says your God? So how else is one to see herself when the very thing she prays most for, the thing that Scripture tells her over and over again will be given to her if only she has faith, does not come to fruition? Where is God then, if not opening wombs? What does this mean for us? And I think that's one of the reasons why this day is so darn painful for so many women, for so many people. When we don't get what we have prayed for, we feel abandoned. The truth is, it's not just women who struggle with infertility who ask these questions, and not just their partners. Any of us who have ever prayed for something faithfully know the pain of feeling rejected by God. We know what it's like to feel like we've been forgotten, and we can't help but wonder why. Is it because our faith wasn't strong enough? Are we not loyal enough, good enough, worthy enough for God's blessings? I remember my dad dying and laying in my bed at night, this 14-year-old girl, making promises to God, trying to negotiate a miracle that would cure my dad from cancer. I would be as good can be. But you know the story. My dad still died. I think some of us have a hard time on this day because it's our moms that we are grieving. It doesn't really matter how old we get. We still miss our mamas. We want them with us. It's hard to celebrate a day like Mother's Day when our mom is not physically here with us. So we're hurting from the pain of grief. Or maybe we just wonder why we didn't get the perfect mom that everybody else seems to have. Society puts a lot of pressure on days like this one. There can be a lot of anxiety and those feelings of isolation. I know there are people that won't even come to church on a day like today. It's easy to question God and ourselves when things don't go the way we want them to, the way we pray for them to go. And perhaps that is when we need to lean on our faith the most. But not because we just need to have faith in God, that God's going to finally give us what we want. And we don't need to make up for it by saying stuff like God has other plans. I hate that one. If you know me, you know it's one of my biggest pet peeves. I know it gives some people hope, and maybe that's exactly what they need to get through these tough times, but I don't think God's a puppeteer. If you were around last summer, you'll remember the sermon I preached on Pinocchio. If we can learn anything from that film about the nature of God, from the creator of Pinocchio, it's that God doesn't want to be a puppeteer. And maybe God never was one. God's not pulling the strings, trying to get us to learn a lesson by walking through the fire and either giving us what we want at the end as a reward for doing right, or testing us to just hold on tighter because something better is coming just out of arm's reach. I do not think that is the way God works. That said, I do believe that God uses all things for good, even the hard, awful, terrible stuff. But I don't think we're supposed to go through them so we can learn some lesson and be better on the other side. That's why I don't attribute Micah's birth to God saying, "Okay, Sarah, Marquise, you two have been faithful. You have paid your dues. Here's a baby." And when people tell us that, they think that they're saying such a wonderful thing to us, and I just, my ears grate. But I don't think that our journey was devoid of God, that the experience was absent of God, or that our faith played no role in getting us where we are today. Because for me, as I've said before, and I'll say again, it is those darkest of times, when we have lost all control, when our hearts grieve and the pain seems to be all-consuming, it is those times when God is most present, like a mother who cradles her babe at her breast. So too does God hold us close. That's God. Embracing us when we hurt, filling us with the love of a mama who is in awe of her child. Cradled in protection, cuddled close and comforted, warm and safe, encircled in a love that is quite simply all-encompassing. And for me, when it comes down to it, that's what Mother's Day is all about. Our one mother who whispers lullabies to help us slumber, who brightens the darkness like a nightlife light that shines just enough to fight off the fear. Or when the fear is present, she's right there, hand in ours, reminding us that we're not alone. We can face it, no matter how scary, no matter how heartbreaking. To me, that's what Mother's Day is really all about. It's God. And that's every day, really. But this day we get to recognize the God who mothers us through hard times, through powerlessness, through pain. I'm so grateful that I get to celebrate my identity as mother. I don't want to diminish my joy. But I know that it was God that got me through, whether or not I ever got the opportunity to be called one. So on days like today, I join with you in celebrating mothers and grandmothers, aunts, and other female role models, women of all kinds, because I celebrate the divine Mother God that I see reflected in you, and I see reflected around us all the time. That's how I see Mother's Day, and that's how I challenge you to see it too. This celebration of the divine in each of us, present in our joys, and also present in our heartache, a God who will journey with us. And on a day like this, we celebrate the divine that we see in women all around us, the women who mothered us, the grandmothers who spoiled us and urged us to stand tall and proud, the aunts who laughed with us and gave us another perspective. And we celebrate the God who is bigger than each and all of them, who is the ideal mother, perfected in grace and forgiveness, who holds us, just holds us, doesn't fix things, but just is, sitting with us in our pain, loving us in the darkness, rocking us gently so that the fear and the powerlessness just fades away and all we're left with is the comfort that allows us the courage to face another day. From birth till death, she holds us. I've seen her. You have to. In your mother's eyes, in your grandmother's wise words, in the fear of those worst days, crying ourselves to sleep, when all hope seems lost, there she is, carrying us through uncertainty. Mother and God, we celebrate you. In joy and pain, in laughter and tears, in hopeless moments and powerful encounters, in women and men, in babies and wizened old truth tellers, ever present, ever embracing, ever loving God. Amen. Happy Mother's Day.